The views expressed on this show by guests and the host on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we're joined by Matt Campbell and Henry Young. Matt Campbell is the brother of Jeff Campbell, who died in the North Tower on September 11th. He's joined by Henry, who was a friend of Jeff. Today they submitted the application for the Campbell family's inquest to re-examine Jeff's murder, and they'll be talking about that. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you, Andy.
Hello, hi.
So today, as I said, they took the next step in seeking justice for Jeff Campbell. We're going to be hearing all about that and their experience. But first, because it's his first time here on the show, I want to learn more about Henry. So Henry, please tell us about yourself and also tell us about your times with Jeff before September 11th.
Okay, hi. So Matt and I are old business partners. We ran a business together, which we founded in 1999, which was working in financial technology and IT. And a lot of our customers were international investment banks who had a office not only in the City of London, where we were based, but also in New York. So our business naturally took us to New York quite a lot. And we were interested in setting up a New York office because that would make much more sense than constantly flying over and putting up in hotels. And Matt's brother, Jeff Campbell, was working for Reuters at the time, working on risk technology systems. And he was quite interested in becoming our the cornerstone of our U.S. office, along with his then girlfriend Caroline, who was going to be working in sales for us. So I met up with Jeff a couple of times in the lead up to this, because I was quite frequently flying over to New York, and we were having discussions about getting this all going. And Part of the thing we were trying to do is to start getting Jeff involved in our niche little world, and that meant, you know, meeting up with customers and going to industry conferences and the like, and that was all in the immediate lead up to 9/11. We were sort of intensely in these discussions about how to structure the business and get it up and running so that Jeff would feel comfortable with leaving his employment and setting up shop for us.
I love to feature the lives that were lost that day. You know, for a lot of people, we watched this event happen on television. Of course, we were horrified by what we were seeing. And then we get a number of victims given to us, a toll. And we look at that number, and over time, it becomes easy to just, you know, see this as an overall number and not think about the fact that every single person, every single soul that composed that number had dreams, ambitions, things going on, entire stories that made up who they were, and they were lost in a single instant, in a single morning on that day. So that is why I always ask these questions. I always want to learn more about these people, and I've learned a lot about Bobby McIlvain through talking to Bob and from just overall interviews and whatnot that he's done, and learning more about Jeff here today. Henry, tell us about your experience on 9/11. How did you hear the news, and then how did you hear about Jeff and what happened?
Yeah, so I was working in the office in London on that day. Matt was on holiday, on vacation. I'd actually myself been registered to attend that conference, and originally it was planned that I would be in New York attending that conference. And then in the days prior to 9/11, we had one of our New York customers have a severe problem with their trading room, and that needed one of my colleagues, who is an expert in the particular aspect of their system they were having trouble with. One of my colleagues had to fly out. And so we decided, well, I'll stay in London. He can go out to New York, do what he needs to do there. So we got in, a guy called Nick, I won't give his full name, registered to attend the conference. And he was going to go in my place along with Jeff. And what ended up happening on the morning of 9/11 is that Nick got urgently called into the customer's office in Midtown, which effectively prevented him from attending the conference. I was exchanging a few emails with Jeff again around, you know, planning our New York office setup, and actually received what might have been the last email Jeff sent, which effectively ended saying, "Gotta go, Henry, otherwise I'll be late for the conference." And then later that day, we had the TV on in the corner of the office. There was actually a US-based visitor who was over having a meeting with some of my colleagues. And one of the guys out in the open plan part of the office draws our attention to what's on the TV, and we see the live coverage of, well, I guess it wasn't literally live, but the, you know, recorded coverage of planes hitting the first plane hitting the first tower. I guess that must have been kind of, if someone incidentally had a camera pointing in the right direction at the right time. And this the thing that really sticks in my memory from that morning is this guy over from New York who was visiting our office, big, tough, burly, muscly guy, looked like he was a, you know, ball player in college or something like that before he'd moved on to his work. He ran over and to look at what was going on the TV, and literally dissolved into tears. And that always stayed with me, seeing this big tough guy brought to tears over what he saw happening. So that was, yeah, just remembering that always temporarily erases my mind. So also the thing that was apparent, well, you know, the conference that was being held, run by Risk Waters, this is an organization that organized a few conferences each year, very, very specialist niche conferences in our particular area of business. And we would always attend these conferences. Sometimes they're in New York, sometimes they're in London. So that meant I knew the staff at Risk Waters. I knew a lot of the people who were the conference organizers, and also these conferences would always have an exhibition area where some of the companies sponsoring the conference would be showing off their products and meeting with conference delegates who came along. So I knew some of the staff. I knew some of the representatives from other customers who would be at this conference, and just the whole idea of what was going on was pretty overwhelming.
So, as I mentioned earlier, these two gentlemen took the next step into achieving justice for Jeff over in the UK. Matt, remind our audience, because we're always picking up new people waking up to the truth of 9/11 all the time, especially around this time of the year. Remind our audience what this inquest is all about and how you got started on this pursuit.
So, yeah, you know, my brother Jeff, he died. He's on the 106th floor of the North Tower. And very early on, I started to question certain aspects of the official narrative. And in part, that was certainly led by Henry pushing me various articles and such like. I mean, as as early as end of October, early November 2001. But over the years, and particularly in the last sort of decade, I guess I've been more focused on the manner in which Jeff died rather than, say, paper trail questions that I had. And it, for me, when Jeff had his original inquest, which is it's held in the UK when someone has died in suspicious circumstances. If it's in the UK, it's fairly straightforward. If it's abroad, you have to have remains repatriated back to the UK to automatically trigger an inquest. So Jeff actually had that in January 2013. It was adjourned for a long time, but that's because it was a joint inquest with nine other victims, British victims. And so myself and my mother didn't attend. And you know, in some respects, in hindsight, it's probably a good thing, because I probably would have just got very frustrated and cross in court, but not knowing necessarily how to articulate or put forward the arguments, certainly, that we've managed to put together working with a barrister and, you know, closely with Ted Walter from A&E. We, you know, we wouldn't be in the position we are right now to have that overwhelming amount of fresh evidence that was never considered at his first inquest, but also to show how there was an insufficiency of inquiry, which is also another key aspect to us putting forward the argument to the UK Attorney General in order to get him to grant his authority to reopen Jeff's inquest.
That's right. And specifically, what you are looking for is for them to acknowledge that Jeff's death was as a result of the explosive demolition of World Trade Center 1, which getting that into the legal record would be huge and would be a big step towards achieving justice here in the United States, because it's already been acknowledged over in the UK. I also am looking at the press release that's being submitted, and it says that you've submitted the application to the senior coroner at the West London Coroner's Court, inviting him to consent to a fresh inquest. Would you please talk about that?
Yeah, so the traditional route is through the Attorney General. They grant the authority or not. If they do grant it, it goes to the High Court, and the High Court should then put it down to the coroner's court and it gets reopened. We discovered a couple of, I wouldn't say a couple of weeks ago, but you know, fairly recently, that there is actually an alternative route which actually expedites the whole process. It would basically fast track our application so that the senior coroner at the West London Coroner's Court can actually make a decision on his own to accept that there is this abundance of new evidence pointing towards a different verdict, and also the insufficiency of inquiry, so much so that they can sign this consent order and it would open the inquest without any significant delay or having to go through the Attorney General route. But we have submitted both. So the submission today, one's gone to the Attorney General in the UK, and the other submission has gone to the senior coroner. So, yeah, that's something new, which we hadn't considered before, with the consent order, that is.
Right. And I want to add, too, this is not just Matt pursuing this. We have his mother is also involved, your family. Talk about your overall family's involvement as well.
Yeah, so it's a joint. There's several of us as applicants. So there's my mother, my father, my brother Rob, and there's also Jeff's fiance Caroline, are all applicants to this to get my brother's inquest reopened. I'd say for a long time, my mum has known that I've, you know, harbored serious doubts about a lot of what we were being told. Certainly, in more recent years, she's paid a lot more attention to, you know, the stuff that I was sending to her. And so, you know, I think as a family, I don't know, it's not closure is the wrong word, but, you know, I don't know how you can have full healing without knowing the full truth about what's happened when someone has been murdered. It's extremely hard to, I speak more from my perspective, but, you know, I know it's to perhaps a lesser degree, but to all my family members, that, you know, it's hard not knowing the truth. And it's been very clear over the years that the authorities have made it hard for us to access that truth. And so, yeah, we're just very pleased that we've got to this stage. And although it's a stepping stone to you know, obviously hopefully getting the evidence in court, you know, we do feel there's been a significant milestone achieved today.
So talk about the step, Matt, that the both of you took today.
So, I mean, today we basically collected and viewed for the first time the application, the full application in its entirety. That's, you know, down to covering letters, etc. And it's approaching 3,000 pages, the actual written part of the application that's being submitted. And there's certainly approaching probably double figures of hours of video footage that's been submitted for the Attorney General and the senior coroner to consider. And so today it was important for me and our family to be there together. I mean, sadly, my father couldn't make it, but you know, myself, my mum and my brother were there. But also Henry, you know, he's been part of this journey. He was there. He was the first one to find out that Jeff was in, you know, in the conference in the towers. And certainly for me, was key for me kind of just waking up to elements that were certainly not right, what we were being told. And also Ian, who I met probably some, Ian Henshaw, this is, who kind of loosely heads up the Re-Investigate 9/11 group in the UK. He's also an author of a book. You know, he's been part of that journey for me as well, getting to the point we are now. And we've submitted the application to the Attorney General. And so it's just good for all of us to be there. And we spent a lot of time at the barristers before submitting the application to the two parties that I mentioned.
Henry, talk about your decision to join Matt in this and your motivation specifically and your experience doing this today.
Well, this whole process is really all about Matt's family. I'm really just, I've been a witness to the process, in part intentionally on Matt's part, I think, and just to be bear witness to the entire process, all the documentation that's been involved throughout, you know, to help out proofreading and sanity checking to a degree as well, everything that's occurred in the long drawn out process leading up to this. You know, I've stayed friends with Matt, you know, since 9/11. So, you know, I'm not officially involved in this process, very much on the sidelines, but, you know, certainly bearing witness to it, helping out where possible, and generally supporting Matt in his endeavors.
Been important to have, you know, someone who I trust and, you know, they really want to help me through that.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes I think some of the sideline work is the most important work. I mean, there's big steps that are taken, but there's all these details that are involved, especially with things like this, you know, legalistic matters and whatnot, but just in any project. The people that pay attention to the details, that help out, who lend the support, I think are some of the biggest heroes. They certainly are for me and all the projects that we do here at AE 9/11 Truth. And every role is important in making anything happen. And I want to thank you too, Henry, for helping Matt out with this. Now, the inquest has been talked about in the media in the UK. Matt, talk about your perception of that coverage.
I mean, it's been so busy today, I've not actually read the article in detail. My feeling is, I mean, I'm glad it's been covered. If you're referring to the Daily Mail article in particular, I mean, Sue Reed's, you know, probably one of the few journalists who has tried to, you know, at least get word out and document what we're trying to do as a family. I felt that the article today was probably a little bit top heavy on, you know, conspiracy theory stuff, which is, for me, I think it's really unfortunate, you know, particularly if you're looking at a historical case, and I've cited before, you know, Hillsborough and Bloody Sunday. If you've got family members 20, 25 years on still fighting for stuff. So to call something a conspiracy theory to me is, you know, it's not fair treatment. But, you know, I don't know if that's more editorial control and stuff that's gone into the article. But to be honest, you know, in the UK, there's so little coverage of what I've been trying to do over the years. And that's not for want of trying. That's, you know, including, you know, hitting press lists, etc. It's, you know, they certainly know that it's been our intention for some time now to get to this stage, to submit a new, you know, an application for a new inquest. It'd be nicer to see it treated without using the word conspiracy theory, which, you know, is ridiculous, really. You know, but that, there it is. But no, I've not really had a chance to look at that or indeed any other press coverage. I'm not aware of any other that's come out. You know, I'm hoping that maybe will change in the next few days. I have a few things lined up, and we'll see. Hopefully they'll come to some sort of bearing fruition, and, you know, it will lead to perhaps more interest from the mainstream. But, you know, it's nothing new that they haven't really paid much attention. I do, however, think that, you know, they're going to have to address the elephant in the room at some point if this does actually go into court. You know, they can't ignore it forever.
I think it's worth emphasizing as well that although the press will always broaden the scope and provide some background to a story and embellish it a bit, and an inquest is a very, very simple, focused thing, examining the cause of death of an individual. You know, the politics and the wider scope essentially is pretty irrelevant. This is about correctly determining the cause of death of an individual.
Exactly. And I think that as we look at the science and we look at the evidence, anybody who puts all the politics and preconceived notions to the side will agree that there's a need for a new investigation, and probably will come to the agreement that these buildings were brought down in controlled demolitions that day. Now, we're getting into the last 5 minutes of this show, and I really like to remind the people listening what this is all about. It's easy to lose sight of it and all of the minutiae of projects and legal pursuits. So I'm going to ask, beginning with Henry and then Matt, to leave us an image of Jeff from your memories. What about him do each of you remember most, and what do you want our audience to know about him as we all prepare to stand behind you guys in this upcoming inquest?
So my memory of Jeff is a very happy, easygoing, open-minded, easy to get on with guy. I mean, I literally met him two times, and, you know, he was the sort of guy that you warm to automatically because of his character.
Matt?
What's hard for me, and I think this is probably true of anyone who's lost anyone, particularly if the time on this planet was cut short, is, you know, in time your very sharp memories of you know, people do fade, and that, you know, saddens me. You know, his little funny faces he used to pull when he was you know, telling the same joke for the 20th time, but actually it got better each time, and, you know, recalling little stories and stuff. I mean, he was a, you know, a very intelligent, good-looking bloke who, you know, always had time for people, enjoyed life. He had started out a new sort of chapter in his life by moving to the States and you know, for the first time working for an actual company rather than just doing sort of consultancy and stuff. And he'd just gotten engaged, you know, 3 weeks before, you know, and had happily come back to the UK in August 2001 to, you know, announce his engagement. And and to see that kind of future, you know, destroyed, both for Caroline, but also obviously for my brother, it's hard looking back and then trying to remember those happy times. I've got, you know, tons of memories of, you know, when we were kids and when we used to go camping and, you know, and then teenage years and all the craziness through university years and, you know, becoming sort of young men and stuff. You tend, for me, I remember all the good times and you know, a lot of Jeff's friends just say, you know, whenever they went out with him, they had a great night, whether they had, you know, hundreds of pounds in their pockets or just a few pence. It didn't matter. You had a laugh. And, you know, I miss him for that. I miss him for his, he had a lot of wisdom and he had a lot of time for people. And, you know, he was a good listener. And, you know, ironically, I think if it had been, say, myself or brother Rob who had died, you know, he would have played a massive role in helping. Such the way he would have been.
We are going to be following this as we have been since this inquest process first started. We're going to be bringing you some other great episodes up into the lead up of the 20th anniversary of September 11th. Matt, you're taking a bold step, and there's a lot of people behind you, not just in your family, not just here at AE 911 Truth, but I think for everybody that died on that day. The justice we're pursuing in your case is through your brother's death, but as you know, so many other lives were lost and continue to be lost as a result of September 11th, even what we're seeing going on now in world events over in Afghanistan as a result of September 11th. So you are a hero in my book, and anybody involved with this inquest is a hero, and I want to thank you for doing it. And, of course, thank both of you for coming on 9/11 Free Fall today.
It's a pleasure, Andy. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. So have a great week. Good luck.